Andy Baggerly joins us at Extra Bags on Twitter. The great book, Giant Splash, is out. One of the best you'll ever see about recapping some of the great moments at AT&T Park. And Andy, how are you today?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
Well, we're doing well and getting ready for what should be a very interesting matchup. Cole Hamels, come on, and Chris Heston, two no-hit pitchers going at each other. This is one of the more interesting matchups of the year. Who knows how it'll turn out, but it's an interesting matchup.
Well, it is, and only a couple other recent times I can think of that two guys who throw no-hitters in a season have gone up against each other. I think Matt Garza and Dallas Braden met up the year Garza threw a no-no and Braden hit his through his perfect game. And I also want to say Roy Halladay went up against somebody before.
Edwin Jackson.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was it. So kind of a rare thing there. And, of course, the Giants have seen a pitcher coming off of a no-hitter in a Phillies uniform. That's what they faced when they faced Roy Halladay in the NLCS and was able to beat him in 2010. But you know what? It's going to be big between Hamels today and Mike Leake tomorrow. And, hey, one guy in this series has already made a debut, and that's the lefty Diekman, who basically said he couldn't sleep at all the previous couple of days because he figured he was going to get traded somewhere. Sure enough, he goes to the Rangers with Hamels, and he went 5-up, 5-down on 18 pitches last night and was pretty key as the Giants were starting to make some noise to come back in that game. So already one guy in this series has made a debut and made an impact.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. Andy Baggerly joins us. Toronto is – Mark Lowe was in there today to preserve a lead, and he put gasoline on the fire. And then, you just see around baseball, Cespedes will make his debut today for the Mets. I think it's fascinating. I really do, because so many teams are still in the second wild card race, and we're going to see it today with Hamels because Texas is still in there as well. However, last night, Madison Bumgarner, he's the meal ticket of the Giants, as we like to call him, like the old Carl Hubbell days. But last night he got whacked around a couple of innings and settled down, but he had a couple of incidents on the field. So, Andy, give me the assessment of Bumgarner last night as a pitcher and also as someone who has turned into the etiquette police of baseball.
Well, he's a little bit old school in what he tolerates, what he doesn't tolerate from hitters. And we can't be surprised that he reacted that way to Delino DeShields kind of, doing the baseball version of rolling your eyes, sort of flipping your bat as you pop up a pitch. And to Bumgarner, he just finds that disrespectful. He thinks, oh, really? I was just laying it in there for you to hit 480 feet. Okay. That's sort of the way he sees it on the mound. We hear a lot about guys slipping their bats and pitchers getting ticked off when they hit home runs. With Bumgarner, it's the third time this season the guy's popped up and done that, and he's barked at him. Had Alex Guerrero, had Carlos Gomez in Milwaukee, and then Gomez fired back after the game saying he's not allowed to do that. He's not my dad. But you're right. It is something that Bumgarner shows very little tolerance for. And the context of the game last night, it's hot. He's already given up 6 runs. There was that kind of late slide that was a little hard from Odor in the panic at second base. And so I think maybe there was even a little more in the context to tick off Bumgarner last night than in those two other previous times. But, in whether Madison is out of line or not, I think this is a good discussion to have, and it's sort of in the eye of the beholder a little bit. You know, your one commenter who said he likes showing passion, he likes guys, he doesn't like the game being too slow. Well, is a hitter allowed to get mad at a pitcher then for showing emotion when doing something like that? What is it right for Hector Sanchez to sort of have a little extra panache drop in his bat after a grand slam versus a guy, doing a solo homer? It's where you draw the line. And for me, I do think that Bruce Bochy does need to have a talk with Bumgarner about this. Maybe not try to change who he is on the mound because they don't want to do that. But just have a speck more tolerance, because if one of these things does escalate in a fight, I don't think you worry about Bumgarner getting hurt, because who's going to be an idiot enough to charge the mound on a guy who's 6'5", 240 and swings an axe in TV commercials? But you could get a teammate hurt. And if a teammate does get hurt on something that he kind of incites, then that's going to be on him, really, to be blunt about it. And I'm sure he doesn't want to put the team in that position. I'm sure no Bruce Bochy doesn't want anybody on his club put in that position. So, these next 2 days are going to be interesting, especially if it comes to Odor, who's got a reputation for being a guy who stirs up trouble on the field in the minor leagues, talking to some people around the Rangers. So, you know, the Giants are not going to see this team again. It's an interleague glimpse. It's almost an easy chance to hit and run if you feel you want to take something out. So, it's going to be interesting these next 2 days.
Yeah, we'll see what Chris Heston does. Now, what about Bumgarner's performance last night, Andy? And I opened up the show, and I think I mentioned it to you this morning when we chatted. You know, he's a hard thrower, hard slider, hard fastball, up fastball. Maybe the changeup has got to be put in here, but these guys are sitting back and teeing off on him from the right side, and it bit him again last night.
Well, he did say he was surprised at the approach some of those Texas hitters took against him. You know, we saw how he ended the last World Series. He got ahead on strikes, and then he started elevating with his fastball. And he really thought that Adrian Beltre put on a swing that not a lot of right-handed hitters can put on a pitch in the location that he wanted. But, you know, maybe he's gotten a touch predictable in some of those counts. And he was still throwing 92-93, but it's not quite the 94-95, which was really eye-opening early in the season. And I don't think that that's something to get too alarmed about, because if anything was the outlier, it was the 94-95 early, because that's as hard as he's thrown in a long time, or pretty much ever in his big league career, counting last year. So, he says that he's physically fine. He says he's got plenty of gas in the tank. You do wonder if the heat affected him a little bit last night. But mostly, you know, you're right. Even in some of the outings where he's been pretty good, like in Arizona, he's not getting dependably deep into the game, and he finds a way to, aside from last night, get out of there with maybe a run or two allowed. But he's not giving you the kind of starts that Greinke and Kershaw are giving the Dodgers, for example, where they basically win a game on the strength of their arm alone.
Andy, Mike Leake is here, and the Giants made an effort to get Hamels and Price, and they didn't have the minor league packages that these other teams had to get these players. And they end up with Mike Leake. That's okay. But did they strike out for anybody else, or was it just we're going to get a starting pitcher and we're not looking for anybody else? Because I know Parra went to the Orioles, and he's a duplicate of Blanco, being a left-handed hitter. So probably they weren't going to go there. But there are some other holes on the team. Did they just say, all right, starting pitch is where we're going, and we'll just leave it at that? Or did they try for anybody else?
Well, the rotation need is one that they addressed. They knew they had to address with someone who was a certain upgrade over what they had. And they knew that anybody who fit that description was going to be dealt before waivers needed to be requested. So that's business they had to take care of. If they found something that made sense, whether it was something big like Hamels or Price, or a medium sort of range like a Leake, medium to high, I should say, because Leake is really a hot pitcher right now. But the other needs that they want to address, like you said, a little more on the bench, those are things that they think they feel they can do with a waiver deal, they can do later on, especially as more teams maybe fall from the race a little bit. I mean, you talk about parity. You can look at a David Price. How many games in the standings did he gain going from a seller to a buyer? I think it was like 2 or 2.5. It really is with that second wild card a situation where, you know, who knows? Maybe the Blue Jays will fall on hard times and fall out of the race in the next 3 weeks and really go belly up, and maybe they'll be selling off some pieces. You really don't know. But everybody has a clearer idea of where their destination is going to be, toward the end of August, and there are going to be more waiver deals to be made. I think the Giants realize that some of the guys they want are not everyday players. They're looking for bench players, and those guys can be had later on.
All right, Andy Backerly with us. I always think August is a time you got to make your move. If you're under 500, you better make your move now, because if you're that kind of club, you're probably not going to be able to turn it on into September, and the Royals did that last year. So for me, once August 1st comes around, for teams that are sort of on the bubble, you got to show something. And I think that's what we'll see here for the next few weeks. I agree with you on that. Joe Panik came back last night. I know there was a tough slide into him last night. Whether it was late or not can be debated. But how's he doing physically? Did he swing the bat adequately last night? What did you see?
He looked okay to me. He said he's feeling okay. He got a lot of treatment coming in the day early, I think, really helped that he wasn't sitting on a plane and then playing the next day. For him, he just needed to freshen up a bit. He did say that Odor's slide, he tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, basically, because he said, look, it was a hit and run. You knew it was going to be a close play. Maybe he didn't think he had to slide until late because he was surprised maybe that Bumgarner threw to second base. And he said, besides, he didn't get me that hard. He only got him with the upper body and not the lower body. So he was basically saying, look, I'm not going to say the play was dirty. But, you know, as I mentioned, the guy does have a little bit of a reputation for being somebody who likes to play tough guy on the field. And sometimes, you know, look, your reputation, as in anything in life, will color the way people see your actions. So, yeah, and Bumgarner also, I guess, was, I didn't see this, but I heard from several people who were watching the game on Twitter that Bumgarner was barking at Odor also for that sort of push bunt that he had, which I thought was a nice play. And if Bumgarner's yelling at him for bunting for a hit, then, I mean, that's where Madison's out of line. I mean, come on, he's a hitter. He's paid to get on base any way he can. If anything, take it as a sign of respect that he doesn't think he can beat you by swinging the bat. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Giants approach him, but I think as far as panic's concerned, he didn't really see any reason to sort of carry it over.
All right. Well, after today, the parade of righties starts again. They got a righty tomorrow. I believe Martin Perez, I believe, is he right-handed? I think he is. Tomorrow. Or maybe. I think he is. Maybe.
You've got the Braves.
Yeah.
Coming up that.
Yeah, you get all three Braves are right-handed. You'll probably get Lester and a couple of right-handers there. My point is this. Time for Aoki to be back in the leadoff spot.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You were asking about Perez who's pitching tomorrow? He's a lefty.
He is a lefty. Okay, so after tomorrow, it's time for Aoki to be back in the leadoff spot, I would think. Pagan against lefties hits well, but boy, that's enough. Put Aoki back in there, and let's get the top of the order cooking again.
Well, I think Bruce is just going to play the hot hand here. That's sort of the way he operates in the second half. And, you know, I think that maybe Angel has done enough to warrant a little longer look. And he wants to give Aoki a chance to get his feet on the ground, to get his timing back. I think it was kind of clear that after the first couple games that maybe he could have used a little more time in the minors. But a nice double last night. Just seeing the lineup now, Pagan is leading off today, and Aoki is off. He's on the bench, and Hector Sanchez is catching with Posey at DH. So,
okay.
You know, I think that once Aoki starts looking like he's hitting a little bit, especially knowing that he was the league's top hitter on the road before he got hurt, you know, I would imagine that once he shows he's got his stroke back, then he'll be back in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I think they need it. Andy, I appreciate you being with us. I know we'll follow you on Twitter at Extra Bags, and I like going back and forth with you on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. So how's the heat, by the way? How are you handling the heat down there?
Well, Marty, I almost melted the soles of my shoes on my 10-minute walk from the hotel to the ballpark. But other than that, I think I'm doing good. I went to a nice barbecue restaurant today, and they're able to save on propane. They're just cooking their steaks right on the asphalt. So, but no, it's very pleasant. You know, you get a good sweat going, and release the toxins. So it's always, you look for the positives.
All right, very good. We'll follow you on Twitter, and I appreciate it, Andy. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly, Bay Area Newspaper Group. The book is Giant Splash. And as you can tell, Andy, he covers this stuff. He knows everything that's going on. All right.